Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Special Thursday show. I know I'm not normally on Thursdays, but there's way too much news to talk about, and so I'm glad to share it with you. Three main topics today. One is this crazy tweet storm attack by the President of the United States against his own Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, to which I say, go ahead, Mr. President, fire your Attorney General, fire Jeff Sessions, I dare you. I'll get to that in just a minute. Then I'm going to move on to the death of the Senate. This whole healthcare fiasco is actually undoing hundreds of years of Senate precedent and throwing all convention out the window, as Republicans show that they don't give a damn for American procedures, laws, rules, regulations, traditions. Well, I guess two of them do. Go for it, Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski. But this fiasco, I want to talk about what's going on, the details of what whole Senate regulations and all, they're just thrown out the window, and where I expect to go from here. And then the end of the show, I want to bring up something that I didn't have time to talk about yesterday. And that is how the Republican Party is becoming the party of hate. Maybe shouldn't say becoming. I think it's actually been that for some time now. But Trump definitely typifies it. And the banning of transgendered service members serving with honor and distinction in the U.S. military, some great, brave, heroic people, it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's Trump's Boy Scout speech. There's this ridiculous speech he gave in Youngstown, Ohio on Monday, where he's trying to rev up a crowd to hate immigrants and others, is astonishing. And we shouldn't let our capacity for outrage become normalized. Oh, yeah, well, just another outrage. It's hard not to do that. I talked yesterday about how I believe the Republican Party is becoming a slow-cooked frog cult. Talked about how if you want to cook a frog, you don't throw it in the boiling water. You turn up the heat gently until the frog enjoys the heat, doesn't jump out of the pot, and then is cooked. But also in the ways the Republican Party is becoming like a cult, like the people who worship Jim Jones, until he ordered them all to drink the Kool-Aid, and most of them did. Now, a few Republicans are jumping ship. There are a few people that are putting their country ahead of their party. Those are brave and wonderful people, and we welcome them, either as independents or in the Democratic Party. But there is definitely a cult-like intensity to protecting the tribe at all costs. Protect Republicans! And it doesn't matter what they stand for. It doesn't matter what we're doing. You know, I think most people get into politics for good reasons. I think they join because they want to help their country. They want to help their fellow citizen. They want to help humanity. They want to help make America a better place. But once you start putting your tribe ahead of others, once you start saying some Americans are good and others are evil, based not on their beliefs, not on their actions, but simply their existing. Once you throw away all the checks and balances and procedures that have been built up over centuries, once you don't give a damn about democracy or due process, or once you start believing the president is above the law, well, those are anti-American values. That isn't a question of Republican or Democrat. So let's start with Jeff Sessions. I am no fan of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions. Not at all. Indeed, if you had to pick my least favorite senator, he'd come close. In fact, he might even win. He might even be my least favorite. Him, Ted Cruz, you know, there are choices here. But he might well be number one, have been number one when he was a senator. This is the guy who has a long history of racial prejudice, including some really gross stuff that I talked about in prior broadcasts. This is a guy who's really determined to kick blacks off the voting rolls, to take us back to, if not pre-Civil War America, at least pre-Civil Rights America. This is a guy who is vicious toward immigrants. This is a guy who is vicious toward gay people, toward transgender people, to the entire rainbow community. He's not a nice guy. And yet, when Donald Trump hired him and he said that if he had a conflict of interest, he promised the Senate that he would recuse himself. And, well, when he did, because he did have a conflict of interest, because he lied under oath before Senate committees, specifically into questioning by Al Franken, he lied under oath and saying he didn't have any contacts with the Russians. And if he did, it certainly had nothing to do with the campaign. We now know both of these are lies. He clearly had to recuse himself from the investigation. And now, if you've been watching the news, you know that Donald Trump has been trolling his own attorney general. He's been saying all these nasty things about Jeff Sessions, presumably encouraging him to resign. And Jeff Sessions has been sticking in and refusing to resign. Now, Trump has made clear his problems with Jeff Sessions have nothing to do with Sessions' antipathy toward African Americans or his hatred of the LGBT community or his complete desire to mistreat immigrants. After all, Trump agrees with him on all those things, right? That's why they were allies. That's why Sessions jumped to support and was one of the first early endorsers of Donald Trump. So yeah, no, I don't have any sympathy for Jeff Sessions. But the reason Donald Trump wants to fire him is because Donald Trump believes that if he is investigated, he is going to be in big trouble. Right? I mean, if he weren't worried about it, he'd say, you know, go for it, Bob Mueller. I got nothing to hide. Here are my tax returns. Here are all my financial dealings with Russia. Here's all the campaign staff that talk with Russia. Here's all the times I talk with them. Here's what Putin and I talked about in our second phone call. I got nothing to hide, folks. Come at me. That's what an innocent person might say. Of course, Donald Trump is not an innocent person. He's guilty. And he knows that the more the special investigator, Robert Mueller, investigates, the more Mueller looks specifically into financial crimes, the more Donald Trump's in trouble. And we don't quite know how. We don't know whether the Russians have blackmailed him, whether this tape supposedly of him having Russian prostitutes and golden showers and all kinds of gross things, whether that's true or whether it's connections between which I think is actually more likely connections between his companies or Jared Kushner's companies or hidden interlocutory tax avoidance schemes whereby he promised the Russians, I will end sanctions if you help commit espionage to get me elected. We don't know exactly what Robert Mueller will find out. What we know is that Mueller's good, that he is of unimpeachable integrity. This is the guy, after all, the Republican, former FBI leader who was appointed by George W. Bush and reappointed by President Barack Obama. This is a guy who you probably couldn't find anyone more considered above the fray than Robert Mueller. And everyone praised him. Every Democrat, every Republican praised him. So it's really hard. Donald Trump's trying to go after him, too, trying to attack Mueller and everything. But it's really hard to do with this guy. He probably doesn't even have a traffic ticket. So why is Donald Trump attacking Jeff Sessions? He's attacking Jeff Sessions solely because he's angry that Jeff Sessions hasn't fired Robert Mueller, not for doing anything wrong, mind you. But Donald Trump says, hey, I'm the president, therefore I'm above the law. Same argument Richard Nixon made. Didn't work out for him, but it is the same argument that Richard Nixon made. I'm above the law. I shouldn't be investigated. And I know I'm guilty. Because if I weren't guilty, I wouldn't have anything to worry about. And so I've got to stop this investigation any which way I can. And to do that, well, I've got to get rid of Jeff Sessions. My pal, my loyal pal, my loyal, racist, homophobic, women-hating, immigrant-hating pal, because I got to get rid of Mueller. Because if Mueller finds anything on me, if Mueller investigates me, I know I'm guilty. And what's fascinating is the Republican response. The Republican response is not, Donald Trump, you're not above the law. You're going to be investigated. It's poor Jeff Sessions. Poor Jeff Sessions. He was so loyal, and now he's being thrown out to dry. That's not the point. That's the least that Trump is doing. What he's really doing is saying, I'm above the law. And Lindsey Graham, I tell you, there are good Republicans out there. Lindsey Graham, I give him credit. And Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, said if Jeff Sessions is fired, we're not going to hold hearings on a new attorney general. You're not going to get a new one, Donald Trump. You'll have to deal with your deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, who seems to be an honorable figure, the one who appointed Bob Mueller. Sucks to be you. So I say, Mr. President, go for it. Fire Jeff Sessions. See if I care. I never liked the guy anyway. You know, when I said I was okay with Donald Trump firing Jim Comey, a number of liberals were like, Mark, what are you talking about? You can't fire Jim Comey. Jim Comey's doing really good in the Russian investigation. Don't fire Jim Comey. And I said, you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, one, because I didn't really trust Jim Comey after how he broke the law to mistreat Hillary Clinton. But two, I knew that if Donald Trump fired Jim Comey, there would be a firestorm. And there was. Because Trump admitted he did it to squelch the Russia investigation. And that just added an obstruction of justice charge. And that just got a special prosecutor appointed. And Donald Trump descended into worse trouble than he already was. So thank you for firing Jim Comey. And Mr. President, go ahead. You can fire Jeff Sessions. I'm all for it. You won't get a new attorney general. More Americans will wake up to the kind of, well, monster you are. And as you obstruct justice, you actually make it a little bit easier for us to impeach you. So I'm fine with it. You won't stop Bob Mueller. You won't stop the investigation. Even if you somehow fired Bob Mueller, you couldn't stop the investigation. You're guilty of sin, and you're showing it. So go ahead. Fire Jeff Sessions. Frankly, we'd have more justice without him. Call in if you like, 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, we're going to talk about health care and the weird stuff going on in the United States Senate.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. What we're seeing going on in the Senate today is an astonishing display of hypocrisy and cynicism. And sometimes I know people think, oh, well, you know, there he goes again, there with the hard rhetoric. I want you to think about the way the Republican Party believes that its supporters are absolute idiots. They have so much contempt for their own voters. It's astonishing. And the clearest example, of course, is the Affordable Care Act. This Heritage Foundation proposal that's a middle ground between no health care at all for poor people and universal care, Medicare for all, which most of us progressives support, that Mitt Romney introduced in Massachusetts and that, well, President Obama introduced as a compromise way back when he was president. Now, like I said, most progressives prefer universal care. Our second choice would be a public option to have the government compete against private entities, to which the Republicans said, no, you can't have the government compete against private entities. That's completely unfair. Government can do the job at far lesser cost. Premiums would be way lower, and they would cure many more people. People's lives would be better. People would live longer. There's no way that private companies could compete with the government. They would charge more. They'd have higher premiums. They'd have lesser results. There's no competition there. A public option, they will tell you, is the same as universal care because everyone will choose the government. To which liberals had to only say, yeah, your point. So they didn't allow a public option. The Republicans filibustered that option out. We got the Affordable Care Act, which is certainly better than nothing. But the Republicans then set out to destroy it. It's very, very important to understand this history. To the extent that there are flaws in the Affordable Care Act, and there are, they are almost entirely the result of Republican machinations. And it all begins with the U.S. Supreme Court, where by a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court said, we don't give a damn about the Constitution. Okay, these aren't the exact words they used. But they basically said, oh, that thing about the Supremacy Clause, where the federal government requires states to do certain things, the same thing that Ronald Reagan used to get the drinking ages up, he threatened to withhold highway funds, the same thing that the federal government has used with Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security since the 1930s, saying you want to participate in this program, we give you all this federal aid, but if you don't, you don't get all this federal aid. The same thing that Congress was sure would require Medicaid for all. Yeah, well, we're not going to abide by past precedent. Five of us believe that we hate providing health care to poor people so much that we're just going to ignore Congress. Yeah, it got 60 votes and a majority in the House, signed by the president. It's supposed to be a law, but screw all that. We're going to let states opt out of Medicaid expansion. And if you notice, the places where the Affordable Care Act is failing are in states that have opted out of Medicaid expansion. Even red states, even Kentucky, West Virginia, if they opted in, they're doing well. The Affordable Care Act is thriving. Now, there's also regulations that Trump is trying to use to kill the Affordable Care Act. There's all kinds of ways that, for example, Trump is trying to tell the IRS don't enforce the penalties for not buying insurance. Because I want to encourage young people not to buy in, because I want to throw the system out of whack, because I want only sick people to join, because I want the Affordable Care Act to fail. But the Affordable Care Act, like a phoenix arising from the dust, no matter how many times the Republicans stab the patient, shoot the patient, burn the patient, how much they try to destroy healthcare in America, the Affordable Care Act still survives. Does pretty good. Yeah, it's wounded. It's bruised. But hey, it has lowered the rate of increase for health care to the lowest increase rate in 50 years. That's pretty damn good. And the only places where premiums are skyrocketing are where Republicans have sought at the federal and specifically at various state levels to destroy the system. It's just really funny. The Republicans are like, we've killed health care. We've stabbed it. We've destroyed Obamacare. We've burned it. It's still alive, but look, it's weak. It's wounded. It's going to die, folks. You know, when a killer, or I should say an attempted killer, says that person's going to die, maybe you shouldn't take their word for it. Particularly when the person, and in this case, the plan, the Affordable Care Act, is surviving against all costs. When we come back, I want to talk about what's going on in the Senate right now, where it comes from, why it's happening, and the incredible cynicism of Republican leaders who know it's a good program. And that's why they can't kill it. We'll be right back, right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, talking about the weird stuff going on in the Senate right now on the Affordable Care Act. And it is some weird stuff going on. And it's important that we understand exactly what is going on and why. And the incredible hypocrisy and cynicism around the Affordable Care Act. So you may recall that when President Obama was president, the Republicans voted, I forget the number, 63 times? 72 times, 48 times, it was a lot of times, to repeal Obamacare, to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And when Democrats said, you have nothing to replace it with, they said, sure we do. We do. We got something great and wonderful. And Donald Trump would say, you know, fantastic and the best health care you've ever seen and the cheapest and the easiest. And Democrats would say, yeah, what is it? It's the cheapest. It's the easiest. The best. Yeah, what's the plan? Oh, it's a great plan. It's our secret plan. But when it comes out, you're just going to love it. Well, Republicans will tell you in private, sometimes publicly, they didn't expect to win. They never expected the American people to choose a deranged, narcissistic, corrupt con man to be their president over a dedicated public servant like Hillary Clinton. They just didn't expect it. She was ahead in all the polls. Democrats didn't expect it. Republicans didn't expect it. So they could go on and claim they wanted to kill the Affordable Care Act all they wanted. Well, yesterday, the same Republicans who voted time and time and time again to kill the Affordable Care Act were given the opportunity in the Senate. And out of 52 Republicans, only 43 voted for it. Even that wasn't a complete repeal. That was a partial repeal. A complete repeal also failed in the House of Representatives. Then they passed out this terrible partial repeal, which is designed to take 25 to 30 million Americans and take away their health care. But the point is Republicans promised their voters again and again and again and again they were going to repeal Obamacare. And they never wanted to do it. And interestingly, Eric Cantor, the former number three, was he number two in the House? Republican congressman from Virginia, who was beaten in a primary by the even more right-wing Tea Party candidate, Dave Brat, just gave a very revealing interview in the Washingtonian, where he says he never believed their own rhetoric. He said, when they said, put us in charge and we'll dismantle Obamacare, he knew it was a lie. He said that we're in a tough spot now because we never intended to keep this promise, we Republicans. When asked if he felt responsible for the current predicament, Cantor said, oh yeah, 100%. He said, we gave the impression if Republicans were in control of the House and the Senate that we could do that while Obama was still in office. His voice says, then he says, quote, I never believed it, unquote. And what he says is he wasn't the only one aware of the charade. Everyone knew it. Heck, I've known it. I've known it from talking to my Republican colleagues. Here's what he said, Eric Cantor, quote, we sort of all got what was going on. There's this disconnect in terms of communication. Because no one wanted to take the time out in the general public to even think about, well, wait a minute, that can't happen. But then here's the clincher. Cantor said, quote, if you've got that anger working for you, you're gonna let it be. Let it be. Let anger be. Tell lies and let our stupid, moronic voters believe them. They are such idiots, our voters, Cantor is saying. And if they want to feed a bunch of nonsense to their voters, knowing they're lying to them, and exploit their anger for electoral gain, that's who the Republican Party is. We play our voters for fools. And we've done it year after year after year. That's what Eric Cantor said. And it's true. And you know it's true because when the actual vote comes up, the Republicans don't get rid of the Affordable Care Act, hooked and line and sinker. They can't. It has saved way too many lives. Or listen to Norman Ornstein. Now, Norman Ornstein, he is at the American Enterprise Institute, a right-wing think tank. All right? I'm here at the Center for American Progress. We are a liberal think tank. He works for a right-wing think tank. Okay. Right-wing think tanks have a right to exist, just like progressive think tanks. Here's to what he had to say in an interview in Slate. Ornstein says, quote, I first came to Washington in 1969. I have watched this process for 48 years, and I've never seen anything like this, says a scholar for this right-wing think tank. He says, I haven't seen anything remotely like this. Oh, we've had procedural gimmicks, things that got people twisted into knots, 3-hour vote in the middle of the night on a Medicare prescription drug bill. But then he says, quote, to have a vote like today, proceeding on a bill that is not even apparent to the people promising it will be a bill, preceded by an insane process, that is all unprecedented. Again, I'm quoting Ornstein. To bypass the committees and the experts who know anything about health policy, which is what McConnell did, to create a small rump group that excludes not just all the women, but Bill Cassidy, a physician who has knowledge of healthcare policy, to have it written not even by this group of 13 old white males, but just by McConnell and his aides. It's not like anything I've ever seen. And the worst is he got 50 votes for it. Again, a conservative complaining that they got 50 votes to proceed with this. He goes on to attack Republicans, to say that every one of the people who said they were offended by the procedures had an easy way out. They just could have told McConnell they weren't going to vote for the motion to proceed. And what's the most troublesome part of this, he writes, which goes beyond the colossal damage that could come to the economy or large numbers of people, is that we have, I will be blunt, a deranged president, a danger to the fabric of the society and our way of life as we know it. I'm direct quoting, folks. These are not my words. These are the words of this scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. So we have in our constitutional system, he writes, not just a culture that pushes back against this, but a whole web of institutions designed to guard against a deranged or autocratic or kleptocratic president. And right at the forefront of that is the Congress, that is not supposed to jump to the tune of the president and members with larger responsibilities. This vote tells me, be very afraid. He says there is a tribal element to our politics, and it's far more significant on the Republican side that seems to overwhelm everything else. People of otherwise admirable character and intelligence, when it comes to the prospect of being singled out or shunned for not going along with their tribe, simply cannot resist. We have seen this with cults and religions. Now, for the record, when I named my show yesterday, Republican Party, the slow-cooked frog cult, I had not yet read this article where this right-wing scholar basically agrees with me. The Republican Party is becoming a cult. You really need to read the entire article. It's well worth your time. It's at slate.com. He goes on to talk about defining deviancy down, normalizing this kind of practice, about how to inflame people, inflaming donors and constituents, and how, well, Let me go on to read. What Senator McConnell is doing is highly questionable. This is the guy who blew up the Senate and did more to blow up the norms than any three or five majority leaders put before him together, and now he's moved to blow up one more norm. So what's going on in the Senate? Even the senators don't know. Even Mitch McConnell doesn't know. Nobody knows. In 48 years, they've never voted to proceed on a bill, and no one knows what the bill's going to be. No committee hearings, no experts, no testimony, opposition by the American public. Some 88% oppose the bill. That's a large number of American people. Only 12% support the bill. Doctors, nurses, hospitals, insurance companies, consumer advocates, people on Medicaid, people on Medicare, everyone opposes what's going on. And they're only going forward because of this tribal mentality. And they're losing vote after vote after vote after vote. And now they're looking at a what they're calling a skinny repeal that I don't think will work. The idea is if you only stop penalizing people for not buying health care and you reduce the subsidies, will only knock 15 million people out of healthcare and only raise premiums by 20% and will still get a good tax cut for rich people, very rich people. I don't think the American people are going to buy that. But at the very least, if you believe in that proposal, you should have had a hearing on it. You should have had testimony on it. You should have had a Congressional Budget Office determine exactly how much it will cost and how many people will punish. The Democrats took 14 months to explain what the Affordable Care Act is, to have hearings on it. The president went all over the country. Everyone was learning what it was all about. They did it in 14 months. The Republicans won't give their proposal 14 hours. Indeed, we may barely have 14 minutes. We don't know what it's going to be. There are going to be votes throughout the night. And if you haven't called your senator at 202-224-3121, what are you waiting for? Let them know that you want to oppose all of this. Let them know that you agree with John McCain, who, even though he voted to make the bill go forward as some kind of tribal honor to Mitch McConnell, he made clear that he thinks the whole process is going to fail, and then we need regular order, regular committees. Republicans used to care about rules. They used to care about regulations. They used to complain when Democrats deviated even the slightest bit. And now Mitch McConnell has thrown out the advised consent clause of the Constitution in not letting President Obama appoint a Supreme Court justice. He is now throwing away the whole Senate deliberative policy, making law for 1/6 of American people on the fly. And even conservatives are astonished and outraged. So don't ignore this. Fight back. I would argue it's your responsibility. When I come back after the break, I want to talk about how the Republican Party is transforming itself, or maybe already has, into the party of hate, and why so few Republicans are willing to speak out against the hate monger in chief. This is Mark Levin. We'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Yesterday, on the 69th anniversary of President Harry S. Truman's brave decision to desegregate the American armed forces to allow blacks to serve with whites, Donald Trump announced a policy of banning currently active transgendered people, American citizens and brave patriots all, from serving. In effect, he's telling 15,000 people who have their lives and their careers sacrificing for their country, I'm prejudiced, now leave. He didn't consult his generals. He didn't consult anyone, apparently. In fact, the defense secretary, ostensibly the head of the armed branches, General Mattis, testified that he supported the policy. It was working just fine. No one seemed to have a problem with it. Donald Trump said, throw them out. It's an insult not only to the 15,000 active service members, but the 150,000 transgendered people who are either serving now or who did serve sometime in the past, many, many veterans. And I remember when Donald Trump ran for president, and he didn't seem that anti-gay. He actually had done business with a lot of gay people in the past. He didn't seem to hate the rainbow community. I remember gay people saying, you know, I mean, okay, so he hates blacks and he hates immigrants and he hates the environment and hates women, but he doesn't seem to be out for us. And I remember telling them what a stupid thing to say. Reminds me of the African Americans I remember that supported Clarence Thomas because he was black. When you teach hate, when you have this much hate, when you thrive on hate, when you thrive on the anger that Eric Cantor talks about, and you have an entire Republican Party that knows they're lying to their public, knows that they're only trying to rile them up with these lies to get them angry, and thrives on that anger, no one is safe. No one should be surprised that Donald Trump is attacking the transgender community. No surprise at all. Just as no one should be surprised when he goes to the Boy Scouts of America, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys. For 80 years, presidents have given speeches to the Boy Scouts. And they talked about honor and service of country. And Donald Trump talked about crass politics. He talked about very rich people having sex on a yacht. To Boy Scouts. Saying, you know what I'm talking about. No, they don't, Donald. They don't live in your world. He actually called Washington, D.C. a cesspool. said it wasn't a swamp, it was a cesspool. He's encouraging young American boys to be very cynical about their government, to distrust their democracy, to distrust their republic, their constitution. He is teaching them the opposite of patriotism. Now, I just complained about the Senate and what's going on, and I'll be the first to admit that Mitch McConnell is trying to destroy Senate norms, but I'm not going to attack Washington. To attack Washington is to attack America. It's to attack not specific people in the government, but our very system of government. It is something that no politician should ever do. If you want to attack an individual, you want to attack a party, you want to attack a platform, you want to attack a process, go for it. But can't we all agree as Americans not to attack America? What are you going to do now, Donald? Burn the flag in front of the Boy Scouts? And if you ever doubted that the Republican Party is the party of hate, the party of fear, just listen to this clip of Donald Trump on Monday in Youngstown, Ohio.
And you've seen the stories about some of these animals. They don't want to use guns because it's too fast and it's not painful enough. So they'll take a young, beautiful girl, 16, 15, and others, and they slice them and dice them with a knife. Because they want them to go through excruciating pain before they die. And these are the animals that we've been protecting for so long. Well, they're not being protected any longer, folks.
The animals. What did Hitler say about the Jews? The vermin? How did lynchings in the South begin? They usually claim that some black man winked at a white woman. This idea that non-citizens commit crimes greater than citizens is just false, by the way. Citizens commit crimes at a far greater rate. So he's going to describe some brutal killing that he's making up in his own mind, much like Ronald Reagan made up welfare queens in limousines, all to get Americans to think about, oh, this beautiful girl and these evil, evil immigrants. He is whipping up hate. Whipping up hate. Imagine if some Democratic politician were to say, and there was this blonde-haired, blue-eyed young man, and he went out and he raped and murdered all these innocent black people, and black people started getting really angry, and that's racist. It's even more racist to claim that this is somehow common. We are a nation of immigrants. 98% of us came here from some other place. Our ancestors did. Immigrants are the backbone of America. And no one was protecting people who slice and dice people with knives, Donald. That is a lie, and you know it. How dare you pretend that President Obama or Democrats or anyone else supports murder or torture? We never did. We never will. But by you implying that all immigrants are out to kill you, you are increasing the very hate and division in this country. And what I want you to notice about this is I didn't hear a single Republican complain. This is who the Republican Party is, my friends. If they didn't like it, they would root it out. They would complain about it. They used to be a respectable party, but now they've become the party of hate. And if you don't agree with those principles, it's time you either complain about them or leave your party. This is Mark Levine, signing off.